Parashas Boy is a parasha that opens us up to an introduction to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, as you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim was a concept for Klal Yisrael that was not necessary for anything but the Ruchnius. In other words, it was absolutely not necessary for Klal Yisrael to be in Mitzrayim. It was absolutely necessary for Klal Yisrael to go through the suffering and torture they went through in Mitzrayim, other than becoming Avodim, other than becoming a nation that will be able to switch from becoming Avodim of Mitzrayim to become Avodim of Rabbeinu Shlom. That was the idea. Kosh Baruch Hu was not incapable of bringing them to Eretz Yisrael, giving them a piece of land, a piece of farmland, a piece of real estate to build up their homes. There had to be in Mitzrayim those 210 years in order to build up this concept of being a slave. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of or have friends or you have family who have been in a situation, for example, like the Israeli army, and after they get released from the army after the practice of 3 years, 4 years, however long it is, if you know what goes through the minds of these boys or girls, unfortunately, there is a tremendous stress that they go through during the time they are in the army. There is stress, obviously, of being away from home, being away from family, living in conditions that are difficult, living in some conditions that are extremely dangerous, living in a culture that is extremely based on hierarchy. People tell you what to do, they bully you. It's a stressful, stressful environment. And when all this is over, if you don't decide to join Keva, when all this is over, and they leave it all behind, many of them go crazy. And they'll do anything to go as far away as possible. Something suicide, yeah?
They release them a month early. Earlier than they're supposed to, just so that they can still feel like they're in the army and start integrating.
Unbelievable. And it's a tremendous stress, and therefore, you know, one talks about, well, why do these guys go all the way to, you know, to the India and Thailand, all this. But one doesn't know unless one's in their shoes and one understands what these people are going through. It's very difficult to judge them. Many of them become Balei Tshuva in Thailand. Many of them become Balei Tshuva looking for release, and then they find that. But one can't judge them. But ultimately, the stress that they go through is incredible. And when they are released from the stress, the dangers that are involved in that are just as bad. Klal Yisrael, were not an army. Klal Yisrael were treated as subhumans. They were treated in a way that slaves today, well, even if it is slavery today, it's not completely not in the same level. You couldn't kill a slave today. You couldn't do to Klal Yisrael, take a baby and break them into a wall. You couldn't do that today. Yeah, those things don't exist. Klal Yisrael lived like that for 210 years. In other words, this is generation after generation of generations who were born into slavery and died in slavery. Klal Yisrael never knew what it meant to be, you know, Yosef's family Mitzrayim. Yosef's family Mitzrayim, that's been long gone, that's long forgotten. Klal Yisrael are now actually living in a society and environment that they are treated like filth. A Eved had never managed to escape Mitzrayim. Why? Not because, some could say it was because of the magic force they had, the kishur that they had in order to prevent an Eved from leaving. But it wasn't. According to many forces, it was possible brainwashing. And Evan never escaped from Mitzrayim because it brainwashed to such an extent that, oh, you'll leave, and then what? What are you going to do then? You're never going to exist in the outside world. You'll never survive. And that was what Klal Yisrael were living through. And that was what Klal Yisrael had to now leave behind, the slavery, and suddenly, a few days later, reach a level of receiving the Torah. Become elegant. Become capable of receiving Rabbeinu Shalom Kepshutai. Let's go one stage further. You know, you take a kid who is brought up in the Bronx, in Harlem. Yeah, he's brought up in the ghetto. And all his friends are school dropouts, on the streets selling crack. And he happens to be a clean kid who makes it big in baseball. Makes it big in baseball. And he manages to knock the ball fast on all of his friends, and he goes into the big league. And he makes a ton of money, and he ends up in Hollywood, and he's being sold from team to team, and he's a multi-millionaire. What's the first thing these kids do? They buy themselves the massive cars. what they call in Scoop the term, the bling bling factor. Yeah, the big jewellery and the cars and the houses, and it's the lifestyle is such to show ultimately that I'm now a free man. Klal Yisrael or leaving Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael or leaving behind much more than a ghetto. Ribbono Shel Olam had to give them a couple of mitzvahs just to keep them sane, to keep them normal while the transition of leaving behind slavery to become free people. Those two mitzvahs were the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach and Matzah. Now how did Korban Pesach and Matzah, what did these two mitzvahs have to do with keeping them sane? Let's go slowly. First of all, let's go through the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The Pasuk says, Perikud Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Now I want to be medayik. It's an Eretz Mitzrayim, meaning that this was a mitzvah because they're in Mitzrayim, and because they're living through the culture of Mitzrayim, that is why they need these two mitzvahs in order to release them from their mindset. The mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, that we discussed last year, and then it says as follows: Dabru kol adas Yisrael leimoy, but also Chodesh hazeh vikru lechem ish sele beis ovois sele boyis. A man should take a seller based ovois, seller boys. A person should take a seller, a sheep. If you have to buy some if it's too small, but lokoch, you have your shchenim with you, etc., etc. In other words, take the korban pesach. What should you do with it? It says, apostle, you should take it, you should shecht it, you should slaughter it, but lokoch min adam, take the blood, venos nash name, mezuzos, put it on the two doorposts, on a mashkoif, on a post, alabatim ashrech, ois behem, where you ate it. And then you should eat it that night. Ochus avosav alayla hazet tli eish, roasted in matzis on rei mechlu on matzis. Al teichem and not don't eat it raw. Voshav vushav b'mayim kiim tli eish. You must eat it roasted. There's a pasuk. Not only that, you've got to eat it in a way that you're not going to break any bones. Pasuk talks about this. Make no bones about it. So, what is this mitzvah korban pesach? So Rosh Hashanah Fol Hish. I said this yesterday by my son for mitzvah. Rosh Hashanah Fol Hish says a very, very beautiful explanation. He says as follows. He says that, you know, in a world, today we understand it a little bit better, something called a codependent. You get people that are so stuck in the lifestyle of being dependent on other people that it's extremely difficult for them to break away from negative control. Yeah, you get the battered wife syndrome. They'll always go back to the husband because they feel they deserve to be battered. Yeah? And that's the way the husband expresses his love, is by battering them. And it's a very, very strange phenomena. And not being a psychologist, I can't explain it to you. But there's a codependency. Klal Yisrael are now leaving Mitzrayim. They're codependent. Mitzrayim has given them everything they don't have. Yeah? The food is from Mitzrayim. The clothing is from Mitzrayim. If they want to take their kids, they'll take their kids. They had a codependency. It's how the Kodesh Baruch Hu as follows. Dabru a kol adas Yisrael leimor, but also chodesh hazeh veyikhu lohem. But what's a yikhu kicha? Make your own taking. Who? Ish, every man. In other words, here is a time where men become independent. It's a separate independence kicha taking. Until now, we have a concept of kol mashkon eved kon haravoy. Until now, everything that eved acquired belongs to the master. Over here, no. Make your own kicha. Make an acquisition. Something that you are now independent of. Ish, be a man and make a kicha and become independent. In other words, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is about showing independence. Why? Because Mitzrayim, they worshipped sheep. Now why should you worship a sheep? It's a very interesting concept. It's basically pacifism. The sheep is the most passive animal. That's really a whole discussion as well. But that is a mindset of pacifism. Yeah? There's plenty of pacifists today still which also worship that. But the sheep is pacifism. Take the most treasured item of Mitzrayim, their god, the sheep, and take it yourself. Take it in your own hands. Take it. And then what you do with it? Slaughter it. Shecht it. Shecht it. Wow! That is showing independence. Something that's so choshev to your master is your shechting. Take the blood and splatter it all over your house. Then, take the flesh, don't cook it, don't eat it raw, roast it. Now, what's the advantage of roasting it? Ah, you have all the smell all over. Whole. Yeah, probably with a bit of the wood on as well. And here the whole Mitzrayim is filled with the smoke of the roasting Korban Pesach. Completely in the face of the Mitzrayim, to show them independence. We are no longer yours. We are our own men, we've done our own Lekicha, and we are now going to take your God and eat it. Okay? Says Rosham Shemfal Hirsch, however, the danger of being independent is being too independent. You know, a teenager, when he comes independent, basically tells his parents where to get off and does the most stupid things. Here says the Pasuk, take a lekicha, but it's got to be sele beis avos, sele bois. It's got to remain dependent on your family. In other words, be independent by all means, but don't do it in a way where you leave everyone that's ever taught you anything behind. Remember that parents are important. Remember that family is important. Remember that your rebbe is more important. Remember how important Messiah is. Become independent. Be your own man by all means. Be unique. Fulfill your own potential Kodesh Baruch has given you and has given nobody else. But you have to always remain Sela beis avos, sela bois. You've got to remain connected to where you came from, to your roots, to appreciate where you came from, to appreciate where your parents have what to teach you still. That is Sela beis avos, sela bois. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael becoming independent, it's got to be done in such a way that it's done with an understanding that there's still a dependency on following other people's dictates, on following Das Torah, on following older people who understand, been through the university of life. That is a crucial, crucial lesson of people who are now becoming free. The Apostle carries on, the Apostle talks about the Isur of breaking the bones. Okay? The Pasuk says, you do base Pasuk Mem Vov, much later on in the parasha. V'bayis echod ye ochel, in one house you should eat it. Lo yiseitsi min abayis min abos, don't take it out, no takeaway. V'etzem le sif shbroboy, the issa to break a bone. Why is there issa to break a bone of this animal? Says the chinuch, here mitzvah tezayin. Mishorshi ha mitzvah lisko nisim mitzrayim. The Shorash Mitzvah, the reason behind the Mitzvah is to remember the Nisim Mitzrayim. So he says, the Gamze Gozoi Min HaShorash HaNiskar She'in Kovod L'Bnei Melochim. It is not a Kovod for Bnei Melochim, for children of kings, i.e. Rebbeinu Shleilom. V'yoyetzei Eretz, and those people who are Yoyetzim in the land, high ministering people, L'Gare HaTzomis, to schlep bones or L'Shabram Keklovim, and break them like dogs. This is only fitting for those people who are primitive and starving. Before, at our very beginning of becoming a chosen nation, from being a holy nation of Koyanim and Am Kodesh, we show, in other words, we show right then that we are different. Klal Yisrael has to act in a dignified manner. You don't take bones and break them. I, they're delicious. I is fantastic. You know, I could get a little bit more. That is what slaves do. You are dignified. You've got to leave that behind. You've got to make it independence. Break away from your mindset, your godless mindset, and become a mensch. Rachman al-Itzlan, there are many people who still live in a godless mindset. And that has created terrible, terrible Chil Hashem. The godless mindset is such that it's impossible to make panasa in a legal fashion. You can't go through the books, you can't pay your taxes, you can't get an accountant who's going to give you the legal way. You've got to do a little bit, twist things a little bit, you know, take a little bit here, take a little bit there. And Rachman al-Itzlan, it gets a lot of people into a lot of trouble, makes tremendous kechil Hashem. Because Baruch Hashem, he lived today in Medina Shel Chesed. In certain places it's harder, but Medina Shel Chesed, where Ribbono Shleilim has allowed us to live and make a panasa in a way that one doesn't have to necessarily break all the rules. And therefore, for a person to go along and start breaking bones and sucking out the thing, and then that's a godless mentality. We're no longer in godless in that matter. We don't have to do that anymore. And that's a lesson over here. Okay? So let's move on over here. The Apostle talks about the mitzvah of matzah. And the Apostle gives a rare introduction to mitzvah of matzah, something which is almost unique. The Pasuk says by matzah, Ushmata mitzvah, shivas yom matzis tichelu. You should eat matzahs for 7 days. And the pasuk carries on. Ki chol oichel chometz. Anyone that eats chometz, for nichrusah hanefesh shehi miyisrael, he'll get koris. Mayom harishon yom hashviyi, from the first day till the seventh day. In other words, this is one of the few times where a person gets koris for eating something. Okay? So this is a koris. This is a koris if you eat matzah. The shayla is, why is it such a chomer din just to eat matzah? In other words, normally, there's certain things are osa. You understand that, so the chaza, pig, to eat pig is osa. But chomets is perfectly mutter. In other words, there's nothing really intrinsically wrong with chomets. We eat it the whole year. Happens to be on 7 days, it becomes osa. And it becomes so osa that you get koris for it. That's a very strange thing. What is pshat in that? Why is the mitzvah of matzah connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim? And why is there a concept over there of koris to such an extent? So Alter von Kelden says as follows. And he says that Klal Yisrael have to know once and for all that when you leave Mitzrayim, don't believe for 1 second that you're going to get your independence and your spiritual or physical happiness through money. People, Nebuch, they come from a poor background, and they work hard, and they work in the sweatshops, and eventually make it out of it, and they get a promotion, and they become the manager, and they work even harder. And Jews are running, doing the rat race their entire life to get to leave behind the refugee view of what people look at them. But this is not going to bring you happiness. The Torah says if you're trying to seek out success and happiness through monetary means, you're not going to get it. Says a pasuk by Yetzias Mitzrayim, when you're talking about leaving behind slavery, says a pasuk, I'm going to give you one mitzvah. And that mitzvah is a mitzvah of matzah. Matzah is absolutely tasteless. Matzah is not hasn't risen. Matzah is unsophisticated. Matzah is the most basic food you could possibly have. And with that, be happy. Don't base yourself on gashmius, because if you do, you'll get absolutely nowhere. And that could be pshat over here as well, that if you do base yourself on matzah, if you do base yourself on chometz, and ignore this lesson, then v'nichrasah, you don't have a life. You get koris. A person who bases himself on physical survival and builds on that to an extent that his whole life pivots around success in gashmius will never ever be happy. I was recently in Caesarea, and no, it wasn't Caesarea. Sorry, Herzliya, and there was a fellow there from Spain who was walking around. He's speaking English to his he must have some family there, and he was looking at buying a yacht. There were yachts there for sale, moored there, yachts. You're talking about tens of millions of euro. And obviously, he's a very wealthy guy. He had his big trumpet on, his big cigar. And he pointed to some kind of one of his yachts. I'm not sure which one it was. Nothing there was smaller than a 50-meter deck. I mean, these things are massive. And he's saying he can't live with this anymore. He's getting so tired. I mean, it's just too small for him and his family. He needs to get something bigger. A yacht! I mean, these people, Nebuch, it's Rachmanis. People spend so much money, and it's not enough, and it'll never be enough. Because once a person is seeking Gashmius, he's going to go further and further, and he's trying to quieten down a voice of Ruchni, it's not going to help you. Says a Torah, no. You know what's going to help you? A mitzvah. Ushmatim es a matzah, ushmatim es a mitzvahs. If you look after the matzahs, that is the key to the mitzvahs. If you know that ultimately the success you're going to have in life, the enjoyment you're going to have in life is based on your appreciation of leaving behind the Gashmius and working with the Ruchnius, that is the key to happiness. And the Pasuk carries on. The Pasuk says, later on, Klal Yisrael actually did that. And the Pasuk says, V'yisa omes b'tzeikoi, Klal Yisrael carried the botzeik, terem yechmos, before it became chometz, they carried it on shichmon, on their shoulders. Says Rashi, even though they went out with many animals, they mechaved the mitzvah, they loved the mitzvah, and because of the love of the mitzvah, they carried it themselves on their own shoulders. What's pshat? The pshat is as follows. The next pasuk shows us, Uvnei Yisrael also kidvam Moshe, Klai Yisrael did as Moshe told them. V'yisholu Mitzrayim klei chesu v'klei zol v'smolis. They borrowed from Mitzrayim klei chesu v'klei zol and clothing. V'ashem nosan shechena omba eini Mitzrayim v'yisholu minasiz Mitzrayim, they wiped out Mitzrayim. What's the connection between these psukim? So the Balei Musar say as follows. They say, there is nothing intrinsically wrong with Gashmius. Nothing. There's plenty very wealthy to Melech HaChomim. There's nothing wrong. Pas v'melech teichel is not necessarily a stira to Gadlus in Torah. There's no wealthier doyer than the Dorodeo. Dorodeo were multimillionaires, all of them. They wiped out Mitzrayim. Multimillionaires, but those were the Dorodeo. These were people who are Oisik Torah Yom V'Laila. How did they come? How did that happen? Money and physical enjoyment is not necessarily a stira to Torah. It's a stira if you put one over the other. If you put Gashmius instead of Ruchnius, if you put the goals of Gashmius over Ruchni, that is when the trouble begins. But when you use Ruchnius through Gashmius, in other words, when you're using the Gashmius you have in order to enhance your Ruchnius, you go out for a nice holiday in order to quieten down for a good zman, you enjoy a beautiful sunset, you enjoy the home, the Gemara says, Machivin Daita Shal Odom, then that is something that is not a stira. On the contrary, that's going to help you learn. That only becomes a stira if you have as a condition, your Torah is a condition based on only when I become wealthy, only when I have this and this comfort, then I will learn. That is when it's a stira. So the Pasuk says, Klal Yisrael loved the matzahs. What did they love about the matzahs? They loved the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam, what we care about is mitzvahs. We don't need gashmius. We don't need it. We're very happy with the matzah. We're very happy with the mitzvah of matzah. What does that teach us? What does it personify? It shows us the gadlus of enjoying ruchnius for ruchnius' sake. We don't need gashmius. Carries on the next pasuk. And that is why they carried it on their own shoulders. It says the next pasuk, Uvnei Yisrael also kidva Moshe. Klal Yisrael did because Moshe told them to, borrowed money from Mitzrayim, Kli Kesef Kli Zov. They had no wish to get the Kli Kesef Kli Zov. What did it mean to them? Well, they don't even want this stuff. Moshe Ben told them to? Okay, we listen to him. And because of that, Vashem Nasan es Chena Om Beinim Mitzrayim, Veshomi Nasan es Mitzrayim, they wiped out Mitzrayim. In other words, because they completely controlled themselves in Ruchnius, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them an extra chen and gave them extra gashmis, because he knew that would not bother them, would not spoil who Klal Yisrael were. That is the gadlus of Klal Yisrael at that particular stage. They took the mitzvah of matzah with such avo, with such tshuka, with such love, that they actually appreciated the depth behind it, the reason behind it, and became a nation that appreciated ruchnius. And through that, they conquered their gashmis, and through that they could receive the Torah. We find in this week's parasha a phenomenal concept of where we have one person who is so involved in Gashmius, he's so involved in Tumah, that he's posher, he doesn't think Bechlal. We have in this week's parasha, Yaakov Galinsky points out, it says, in a Pasuk, Perik, in the same parasha, Perik with Beis, Pasuk Choptes, Vahi Bechetziah Laila, it was at Bechetziah Laila, Vahashem Hikoko Bechoy Beres Nisram HaKadosh Baruch Hu Smit Evi Bechoy Nes Nisram Bechoy Pari Yoshua Kisoy Ad Bechoy Yashvi, Asher Beis Abor v'chol b'choy behema. Kosh Baruch Hu went and wiped out every b'chor. V'yokom paru lailahu. Paru got up v'chol avodah v'chol mitzrayim v'titzalko g'doyle mitzrayim ki ein bayat asher ein shameis. It's a big tzalko g'doyle. V'yikul ha-mesh Aaron, akul mesh Aaron, etc, etc. Now, one second. V'yokom paru lailahu means he woke up. He woke up. Now, listen, I don't know how you, I don't know what happens to you the night before you're supposed to catch an early morning flight. Imagine you have a flight at 6 o'clock in the morning. So they've got to be up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, right? You go to sleep at 11 o'clock. Do you sleep until the alarm goes off at 3 o'clock? No problem, until 3 o'clock. I'm petrified. Every 10 minutes, I look at the alarm to see if it's still working. Maybe the batteries are gone. I'm petrified to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I've lost my ticket. Paro was warned by a boyishay, and Paro, listen, you know, I've hit you 9 times already. Okay, you got that? I'm in control over here. You've got Bukhair. You're Bukhair yourself. There's a whole nation over here that's going to wipe you out, going to knock you out of your throne. If this goes through, Paro, listen carefully. I'm going to kill you at Chatzos. What does Paro do? He goes to bed. Not only does he go to bed, he goes to sleep. He manages to fall asleep. How does he do that? How does Paro manage to go to bed and actually go to sleep? The answer is, that is a koyach taiba can have on a person. It can completely warp one's mind. A person can be so engrossed in taiva, so engrossed in gashmis, that he completely blocks out everything else. He can go to sleep on the night before he is warned he's going to die the next morning. His children are going to die. It means nothing to him. Why? Because I want Klal Yisrael, I don't want to know about Ribono Shel Olam, it's cognitive dissonance, and that is going to actually make him be able to fall asleep at night. On the contrary, we find a person who was so in control of his Gashmius through his Ruchnius, who also managed to go to sleep at night. Who was that?
Chizkiyo.
Okay, let's go back to a little bit earlier than that. Who? Earlier, come on. The Pasuk says, but Avram Avinu. The Pasuk says, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, you know, he says to Avram Avinu, you take your son and go and shecht him. V'yashkem Avram Baboike. Avram Avinu got up. He woke up. The night before he slept, a good night's sleep. But you're going to shecht your son tomorrow. Okay. Doesn't mean I'm going to disturb my sleep over this. It's all Ribono Shel Olam. Fine. That is a koyach of taking all your rotzen and saying Ribono Shel Olam, it's yours. Or faket, on the contrary, taking every rotzen you have and putting it over the Ribono Shel Olam. That is a mitzvah of matzah, and that is a chiyuv of the Korban Pesach. Let's just finish off with one beautiful vort. That is brought down from the Avni Shoyam. Avni Shoyam says, I really like this vort. Avni Shoyam is a Moshe Leib Shachoy, a very, very nice lady. The Sran brings down many times. He says, in the end of this parasha, it talks about the Bechor. And he says, because Klal Yisrael was saved with the Bechor, the Pasuk says, V'avata kol peterechem l'Hashem, v'kol peter shega behem ashi yilucho azchorem l'Hashem. Here it talks about the mitzvah of Bechor, and the Pasuk says at the end, there's a mitzvah of being poyde every bechor of your sons. Now we all know the Gemara is a Mishnah already, and it's brought down from already from the Pesukim over here. That what the bechor that we're talking about here is dafka a bechor of your oldest, or the peterechem of the mother. In other words, let's get this very clear. That if the mother has a firstborn son. Yeah, the first one that she gives birth to, that is the one who has did a bechor. But what happens in a case where a mother remarried? And this is the first son of the husband. Then there's no din bechor anymore. There's no din bechor. So the Mefarshim ask, why is it? In Mitzrayim, what happened was that every bechor died. Whether it's bechor from your mother, bechor from your father, every bechor died. When it comes to the mitzvah of a bechor, in that case, dafka the bechor of the mother and not bechor of the father. Why not? So he explains this. Avni Shoyim explains that bechor is a concept like you have of bikurim. Bikurim is an understanding that Kodesh Baruch is in control. Everything gashmi we have, Kodesh Baruch is in control. A person thinks, you know, I plant a seed, and it grows, and the tree grows, and a fruit grows. It's all me. Kodesh Baruch says, no. Take the first fruit and bring it, and say, Ribono Shel Olam, it's all yours. Bechor is the same. Bechor is taking your first child, and saying, Ribono Shel Olam, he's yours. And I don't have a hand in this. When does a person have the Yetzirah to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm in control? Where everything has worked according to the book. A person's got married, he has a baby, 9, 10 months, 11 months later. So therefore, with that child which has come so naturally, so normally, you've got to say, Ribono Shel Olam, I've got to be poyde this child, I've got to say it's all yours. This Dovah Gashmi, this ultimate Dovah Gashmi, child, Ribono Shel Olam, I appreciate comes from you. But when something strange happened, a person has already realized he's not in control. It's a second marriage, the woman had a miscarriage beforehand, it's a cesarean section, something hasn't been completely normal, then a person doesn't have to have necessarily the reminder of a bechor. He already knows that Kodesh Baruch is in control. The idea of this week's parasha basically is an understanding of before Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, one has to know, very simply, that in order to move over from becoming slaves to becoming a nation that is worthy to receive the Torah, one's got to appreciate, firstly, the idea of independence. That independence means being free to do the greatest possible acts of self-sacrifice, of being unique, but never separating Chas v'Shalom from one's Mesoira, Celebes Oves Celebois, is to ensure that with the freedom we have, we remain elegant people, we don't Chas v'Shalom, we do have Keres. It's a knowledge that what the Matzah gives is that if a person looking for Gashmius, he's not going to ever find pleasure, he's always going to have to look for more. It's a piece of matzah that is so pleasant. The piece of matzah has nothing in it because of the mitzvah itself. That is what the Klal Yisrael enjoyed. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them so much more gashmius. And that is what we talk about in the end, that ultimately what we do have, we can actually control fully or can lose it fully. The fact that we have Avraham Avinu who can take a dovah gashmi, his own child, and sleep the night before because no, Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control. And you have the Havdol Paroi who doesn't care because he feels that his taiva is going to override anything a Kodesh Baruch Hu can do. That's a koyach of gashmius and ruchnius that Klal Yisrael have to go out with. And we have to know as well, as the last we just mentioned now, that when things do go well, and when things are going keseda, that is a special time. You have to say to Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom is all yours. And therefore we have a mitzvah b'chori dafka at the end of this parasha. We should get these lessons, we should get this clarity, and as Hashem we become more free, more independent, but more appreciative of what Rabbeinu Shalom does, and grow with every single day. Yeah.